The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen. Now let's read a few portions of the scriptures and then we'll continue. Well, we continue just what we were doing last time. We're praying for the country. And I was explaining some principles along the line. So if you have your Bibles, quickly go to the book of Matthew chapter 5. Part of the Sermon of the Mount, which we all know. I just want to read again from verse 13. It said, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is good for nothing anymore except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. Then he said, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under the peck measure, King James says bushel, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now, I just want to continue our discussions from here. Just explain a few principles, and then we'll rise up as we normally do, say a few words of prayer, and then we leave. Now, okay, let me just read one more so that we won't have to come back here. Just next chapter, chapter 6, from verse 1. It said, beware of practicing your righteousness before men, for the end that you want to be noticed by them. He said, otherwise you have no reward with your Father who is in heaven. Now notice that you are practicing righteousness, and righteousness begets a reward. He now spoke in verse 2 about the giving of alms, so that you do it in secret. And then he now went in verse 5. He said, and when you pray, you are not to be as the hypocrites who love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners in order to be seen by men. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your inner room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will repay you. Now, I want to just remind us of what we said last time, all right? Number one, let me first explain this, then we'll go back to the first one, Matthew chapter 5. Here, I explained something last time, I just want to say it again so that we'll know it and to be printed in our hearts. That there are different kinds of prayers, and not all of them have a reward. I said that a reward is different from an answer. Are you getting my point? Don't ever forget that. You only get reward for service done. And so Jesus talked about practicing your righteousness, and he said that begets a reward. And in that context, spoke about a certain kind of prayer. And I don't have time to go over it again, but we said it then, that when you pray, for example, the Bible said that you pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Then we read from Jeremiah 29, that God said, when I send into a city, I send into a nation as an exile, you pray for the peace of that city. It's when that city has peace that you will have peace also. Are you getting the point? So we say when you are praying prayers like that, then what you are doing is that you are practicing righteousness. That's what Jesus is saying. And you will get a reward for the practice of righteousness. When you wake up and you put your emphasis on your needs, you can get an answer, but you don't get any reward. And a good illustration of the difference is what happened to Solomon. God said, ask for anything. And if Solomon had asked for, if he had asked the Lord for 1,000 wives, the Lord would have wondered what he wanted to do with them. But probably would have gotten it. Anyway, let's get to serious things. If he had asked God for a lot of money, he would have gotten it. If he had asked God to enlarge his kingdom, double it in size, he would have gotten that. You follow the point? But he did not ask for that. Now, if he had asked for that, those things, and he had gotten them, that's the giving of those things to him would have been an answer, not a reward. But when he asked for something that was not at all related to material possessions that would be a personal blessing to him, when he focused on praying for the progress of Jerusalem, when he focused on praying for the nation Israel, when he wanted to get wisdom so that he would be a good king and cause the people to prosper, and indeed, he caused that nation to prosper exceedingly. That just by the way, alright? I just want to say something by the way. Look, Nigeria as a country is one country I know that one man who God anoints and does the will of God can cause this nation to prosper exceedingly. It's not difficult at all. Nigeria doesn't even need too much brain. Do you follow my point? What I mean is that you don't have to pray for rain. Rain falls. Do you follow what I mean? Yes, you really don't have to. You have so many intelligent people. You are not leading a a flock of goats, right? There are so many intelligent people who can do things. If you put your brain in order, it's a country that you can really cause to prosper. So Solomon, indeed, he caused Israel to prosper exceedingly. So when he prayed his prayer focusing on the prosperity of Israel, when he prayed his prayer focusing on the promotion of righteousness in that land, he wanted to execute justice, then God gave him what? A reward. What God gave him was what? A reward. Initially, he got an answer, which was wisdom that he asked for, and he got it. But beyond that, God now gave him more wisdom than he asked for, because he asked for wisdom to be effective in his job. God gave him wisdom that was unnecessary for his job. I don't know. Now, he first gave him the one that was good for his job. He first gave him the wisdom, all right, that he could use to execute judgment. They now gave him wisdom that was unnecessary for the office of a king. For example, you go and read the description of wisdom. Solomon wrote poems about leaves. Solomon wrote poems about, you know, he wrote issues on philosophy. He kept on writing. Most of his writings we don't have. But people used to gather every day to come and listen to Solomon just tell about the universe. Those things were not necessary for the king. I mean, these are things that professors should be using in university. All right? That was part of the reward that God gave to him. It was not just the answer, all right? And then, of course, he never asked God for riches. He got abundant riches. He never asked God for peace and the life of his enemies. All the enemies were laid down before him, one by one, and destroyed. That's a matter of fact. You get what I'm trying to explain? Now, all those things were the rewards he got for righteousness, practicing righteousness. So let's not ever forget that. And I tried to explain something to us, but I need to remind us about it again. Once we wake up and all we have as prayer points, our personal needs, all we have as prayer points, our own personal issues, then it's a sign that we are not walking in the perfect will of God. We are not practicing righteousness. You know, Jesus talking about the practice of righteousness. He talks about giving. You understand my point? A lot of people know how to give money. They know how to give prayer. Do you follow my point? All we know how to give in Christianity these days is money, money, money. And we tell ourselves that money answers all things. Really? In the context of, Solomon said that thing in the particular context, okay? It doesn't answer prayer. You know, you cannot give money to the person you're supposed to pray for. Money does not change character. You get what I'm saying? You cannot give money to the president and make him a good president, can you? You really cannot do that. But you can pray for him and cause him and compel him to do the will of God. Now, so that's what Jesus called the practice of righteousness. Let's not ever forget that. All right, that's one thing. Remind us about that. That's from that Matthew chapter 6. Okay, let me just say it again. That reward, you cannot really say exactly what God will reward you with. Solomon was not banking on the things that he got, yet he got them. You follow my point? I say it all the time. You cannot. People say that I have struck a deal with God. Let me just say it again. I like to correct these things every time I have the opportunity to speak. People say I have made a covenant with God. The only covenant you can make with God is a commitment. You cannot tie it to reward. One, we went for a convention, my alumni convention, which you all know about 2 weeks ago. And one of our sisters said something that she heard somewhere. Do you follow? Now, let me just say this. You know, when we say things here and there, it blesses people, okay? I'm digressing. But just to let you know that you cannot make people say, I've made a covenant with God. I will do this and he will do that. You can't. God can make a covenant with you. Do you follow my point? But you can't make a covenant with God. You can't get up and initiate it. You can't. Now, the lady, this woman I'm talking about, one of our brethren, described what she heard one other lady say. And the lady is maybe a minister, a missionary, evangelist, or one of those things. And used to go around doing work, plenty of work for the kingdom of God. Listen to this, neglecting her family. And she said that, I have made a covenant with God that I will take care of his children, he will take care of mine. That's a very stupid statement. Alright? That's a very responsible statement. Are you getting my point? Yes, it is. It is. It's a careless statement. Alright? You wake up and decide, God, I will take care of your children, you will take care of mine. That's nonsense. God gave Adam a garden. Cultivate and keep it. Adam cannot say, God, don't worry, I shall describe the universe, you take care of the garden. What kind of job is that? Look, this is your own job. You take care of this garden. You don't strike an unnecessary deal with me. You follow what I'm saying? What I'm going to emphasize is that, listen, let's not. You can't wake up and be striking deals with God. You know what I deal? I will do this and you will do that. The only person who's allowed to say that is God. Somebody told me once that somebody said that you can use this, you can use your tithe to challenge God. I said, God doesn't accept challenges. That's what you don't understand. He doesn't. You can't wake up and challenge. What kind of joke is that? All you can do is to obey. Do you follow my point? If he says do ABC, you do ABC. And do it again. And do it again. Don't do D. He didn't say do D. A, B, C. You can do A 20 times, B 20 times, C 20 times. That is the only kind of covenant that God understands. Do you get my point? You cannot tie a reward to the practice of righteousness. If God says it has been tied, then it has been tied. You get my point? You can't invent your own. That's why you can never... You know, I've said this in... Don't worry, by next time, maybe I'll stop saying it, all right? People have heard it enough. That's why you can't get up and take money and say, I'm giving this money towards this. Therefore, I will get it. It's a joke. It's a joke. If you want to give money, give money. And it's a good thing. Christians should give. I heard Billy Connect teach that thing again. I was listening to him last week and I was happy. At least somebody else is saying it again. That Christians don't give because they want to get. I said, oh my God. I'm so happy a senior man is saying this. That we do it because it's a responsible thing for believers to do. Alright? What I'm saying is that when we do our acts of righteousness, alright? We do them and do them because they are right. Then God awards the reward. Do you follow what I'm saying? That's what I have to bring up from there. Alright? And I'm saying, because that's what the Bible says clearly. If a man prays for the peace of a particular nation, he walks in righteousness and prays for the peace and prosperity of a country. Listen to this, he will prosper in that. Because God said that, you know, there are two things, right? So there are two ways to look at it. He said, if you pray for the peace of and the prosperity of the nation I'm sending you into, in its prosperity you have prosperity. I said, there are two things. One, either the nation will literally prosper and you will prosper in it. Or two, because this also happens. Sometimes one person's prayer, sometimes, I'm not saying it's always like this, and so I'm not trying to discourage you. Sometimes things are set in motion in such a manner that one person is unable to reverse that motion. Do you follow my point? All right? And that was what God spoke to Jeremiah. If you read Jeremiah chapter 15, Jeremiah said the destruction is determined, all right, overflowing with righteousness. There was one king, I think, was it Josiah now, or one of them, that did so much righteousness. The Bible said that, however, God did not turn back from the destruction he had determined against Jerusalem because of the sin that another king before him did. I think it was his father. You follow my point? So sometimes it happens, all right? Now, this is what I'm coming to. When it happens like that, the man who prayed for the peace or prosperity of that nation, he will privately and personally prosper, especially when you compare him with everybody else. For example, Jeremiah, after praying, God said, listen, oh boy, I will give you one thing. I will kill everybody else, you will survive. Do you follow my point? So the danger, go and mark everybody that's groaning and sighing because of the sin that's in this nation. And the angel began to mark. And at the end of the day, only the prophet was marked. That is, there was nobody else. So because of that, anybody that's not marked dies. Anybody who's marked survives. And why did the prophet survive? Because he was marked. And why was he marked? Because he was groaning and praying concerning the issues of the land. Are you getting my point? Let me scare you a bit. Alright? Let me scare you a bit. Now imagine, what if you turn it around? You now join in your whining and groaning and complaining and grumbling about the land. I'm pronouncing curses and judgments. You know, that might be scaring you a bit. Wake up in the morning and condemn everything. What you are doing is that you are actively participating in judgment without realizing it. Do you get the point? There are many things that control what happens in our lives. Many issues. Many. Many. Many of us won't realize it. We'll be trying to do business, trying to do things. And God said, the reason why this business is not prospering is because the land in which you are trying to situate it has never gotten a blessing from your mouth. You wake up in the morning, you complain. You go to sleep at night, you curse the land. You don't realize that's what you are doing. But at least you know you are complaining. By the time you finish, you now wake up in the morning and you are commanding that same land to bring forth blessing for you. James said, how can? How did James say it? He said, the mouth that's bringing forth good, you know, cannot be bringing forth evil at the same time. So the land that you are telling to bring forth evil, how will it bring forth good? Now this is what Christianity is, though. Are you getting what I'm saying? Alright. Now let me explain the other thing and then we'll continue our prayer. Especially we'll pray for our president and the many issues in the country. Alright. The other one we read was where? Yes, the salt of the earth. Let me just explain that to us again. What's the meaning of the word salt of the earth? We read that from Matthew chapter 5, in verse 13. What Jesus was speaking, what was saying to the disciples, which we should bear in mind again, is this. See, life is very spiritual. Are you getting my point? Yes. You see, volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, all those kind of things are tied to the lives of the people that live on the land. Are you getting my point? The fertility of a land, ozone layer depletion, global warming, global cooling. Global warming is not, you know, I said this to you one day you said that, this guy used to say that global warming is not caused by the kind of fuel that we use. Just believe me. Are you getting my point? That's not what causes global warming. I always say that who was there to warm the globe at the end of the Ice Age? Yeah, you heard of the Ice Age. Yeah, the globe warmed. Now please, let's get the point. This is what I'm trying to bring out to us. What happens on the earth is tied to the lives and the lifestyles of the people that live on the earth. I've discovered, anytime I say this, it's like a joke. And it's actually half a joke, but I think I'm half correct. If not, okay, I think I'm about 85% correct. There's a particular religion that the spread of it is always followed by desertification. You know what I'm talking about. Go and check. Just check the geography. Where there are strong deserts follow. Those lands were not deserts before. I know what I'm telling you. You talk about the Lake Chad is dry. I said, why won't it dry? Every morning you bow down inside Lake Chad and shout. I mean, every morning people will just gather around Lake Chad and the child shouting. Okay. This will just be sucking away the water that is in the lake. You know, Lake Chad has... The thing has shrunk by about, is it 70 or 85% now? The Lake Chad of when I was in primary school is not the same Lake Chad of today. The basin is still there, but the amount of water has dropped by about 85% over the last 20-something years. What am I saying? Yes. Over the last 30 years, at least that one I'm sure, it has dropped by about 85%. You know what will happen? Another 30 years, it will dry. Bam. And if people don't know, they say go and spread mass in the center of it, they come at 5 a.m. I hope you're putting what I'm saying. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, no, really, these things are interesting. No? These are spiritual phenomena. They are spiritual phenomena. You think the other side was always the desert? No, it wasn't always the desert. I believe very strongly. One day, the archaeologists used to still dig everywhere and find all those thriving cities. Like you think when the, what do you call them? Is it Timbuktu? Or what is the story of Timbuktu the other day? You think Timbuktu was the center of the desert? I don't think they did. Issues were flowing that time, but over time, I mean, if you don't worship, you know, if that kiss his son, let him be angry, and your water dries out of the way. The Lord is good. Now, the word I'm just making is, all right, so what happens on the earth is tied to the people that live on it. And if God, now, and that's God's, then that's God's method for promoting the recovery of the earth. Listen to this. He plants his nations, his people, in every nation of the earth. And without them, that nation will be lost. If the body of Christ is not established in any nation, they will disappear. They will disappear eventually. They will what? They will disappear. You know, I was somewhere over the weekend and I heard something that I had not heard in a long time. I know it happens, but I was surprised when it spread it down to Nigeria that Jews in Nigeria can now move back to Israel. Have you heard that thing? I wanted to collect some of the information manual so that I can study it properly. Well, whether it's everybody or a lot of Igbo people are Jews. No, I think maybe those from Imo State are Jews. And I'm right, who don't look like Jews to me. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. When I heard it, I said myself, wow, it's very good. Nigerians will move. You don't know what I'm saying. You won't open door. We're all going. One outside man will appear and say, he said, oh boy, me, one light, I'll be Jufa. Everybody go park. If they go Israel, Tel Aviv, here we come. Now, when I heard that business, I told myself, what? And the body of Christ, Christians are going around doing this. Christians are doing it too. They are sponsoring the return of Jews to the promised desert. And you know, please, In case your grandfather is a Jew, allow your cousins to go, but you don't go anywhere. There's a reason I'm saying it. That's not, hear it, quote it. Pastor Frank said, that's not righteousness. That's not the plan of God, it's not the will of God. I'm not discussing that one now. Don't let anybody come and move you out of Nigeria to any promised land anywhere. I don't care whether it's because your grandfather is a Jew. In fact, they finally found out that your grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, was a high priest during one particular. It makes no difference. If any man be in Christ, he's no longer a Jew. Did I hear an amen? That's what I'm preaching. I'm not saying that. That's why I said your cousins can go. For adventure, you are from. By the way, I'm looking at Lisa Rebecca, I look like a Jew. All right? I don't know how these black people can be Jews. Oh, the Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. Now, this point I'm just making, however, is all right. Let me leave that one. And just to clarify something. Christians, all right, sometimes we don't read prophecies very well, and we don't understand how it applies. All right? God is not returning believers to anywhere. If you're a Christian, don't just answer such things. I don't want to go into the discussion of whether if you're not a Christian, you should answer. That one doesn't concern me. But if you're a believer, that gospel does not concern you. Are you getting my point? It doesn't concern you. Don't go and join anybody fighting for land with Palestinians. That's not Christianity. Is that okay? Uh-huh. Every nation of the earth, alright? It says of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. God is not colonizing any square mile area somewhere in the Middle East. He's not doing that. Are you getting my point? Yes, it's the whole earth. The whole earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. It's the whole earth. Do you follow my point? Do you get the point I'm making? Your Jerusalem is a no-go for adventure. Your own Jerusalem can be Burundi. It's possible. Can be anywhere. Can be Lagos, Abuja. Or it can be the real Jerusalem. You understand? The physical one they are fighting over. Alright? If that's how God. But God has not sent all of us to go and queue up. Some people show up and say, when you want to pray, you pray towards Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper that love you. And they forget that every promise of God is confirmed only in Christ Jesus. The Jerusalem of today is called the Church of Christ. If you want to prosper with your prayer, pray for the body of Christ on the earth. Do you get my point? Alright, anyway, this one I'm going to explain. So you find out that this is how God recovers every nation of the earth. He plants his people everywhere. Are you getting my point? We are discussing the dispensation of Christianity. Because the dispensation of Judaism is different. In the dispensation of Judaism, God pulls people from Egypt. Alright? The Jews. Those are not the Jews. That's Israel. You know, Israel and Jews are different. Alright? Just the tribe of Judah. And I think maybe with Benjamin. That's what they call Jews today. Alright? The other one, nobody knows where they are. Alright? I'm sure it's possible that Oduduwa was from the tribe of Ephraim. We don't even know. He just covered everybody from Western Nigeria. You don't know where anybody's from. Look, I was talking with my father, I don't know where my father, alright? Very educated man. He said, whatever the Bible does not discuss that they've learned, you know, in the Catholic theology. You don't just bother about it. I said, that's very good. Pentecostals should learn that also. Alright? The Lord is good. Alright, the Lord is good. So the point I'm making, alright, let's just continue, is that, see, what God does, alright? What God did then was to create a nation. Is that okay? And then from that nation, he brought forth somebody. It's like, let's assume that Mercedes-Benz builds a plant. That plant, they say, okay, want to provide cars for the whole of Africa. So they come down to, let's say, somewhere in central Nigeria. Maybe some God land somewhere in Benue State. And then they build a heavy Mercedes-Benz plant. Now, when they first start, all the activity will be directed towards where? Benue State. You see them clearing land, importing steel, bringing their engineers, recruiting people. Finally, the plant will be ready. Then what will start happening in the plant? They will start producing cars. And the cars will start doing what? Driving away from Benue State. I don't know whether you get the point. Until the production starts, all activities will be centered in Benue State. After production has commenced, you discover that the cars are all heading out of the place. So a time will come that you will discover that the Benue State in Nigeria will not have more Mercedes-Benz cars than maybe Tanzania. Because they were producing it there, that they might move all over Africa. Do you get the point? And they start having sales center, centers, service centers all over Africa. But why did they first create that one that was in Benue State in Nigeria? Because that was supposed to be the source of everything that is going forth. That's why Paul was said to the Jew first and also to the Gentiles. That's just the way it works. So what I'm saying is that when God wanted to produce salvation for the earth, he first built his manufacturing plant. And that manufacturing plant produced one thing, Christ Jesus. And as soon as it was produced, he closed it down. That's what he did. He said, I don't need it anymore. I built this plant for one purpose, to produce my final product on the earth. And that thing is called Christ Jesus. And having produced him, all right? And Jesus went to the cross, died, and he released the spirit of Christ into the earth. He said, it is finished. The veil went down. A sign that we don't need this temple anymore. I see Christians gather. There was a time they were having architectural drawings. You know, maybe they need to be like you to draw for them, get them the 3D model, so that they can build a temple that Jesus Christ will return to. I said, Jesus is Lord. You guys believe this? And they'll go around the world raising money to build a temple. The temple that, oh gosh, God is not doing that. The temple that he wants now is flesh, alright? Your body, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's get that clear, alright? He has closed down the plant. He doesn't need it anymore. His product has now gone out into the whole earth. The Spirit of Christ is everywhere. This one I'm making. Now, God created this earth, not for the devil, not for any one of his foes, alright? Or the devil's associates. He created it to be redeemed. After the earth was destroyed by the activities of sin, God set about to redeem it. Listen to me. Everywhere that the people of God will be planted, they will redeem the land that they are on. Do you get what I'm saying? Listen, everywhere that the people of God will be planted, they will redeem the land that they are on. That is a matter of fact. If we continue steadfast in the faith, the very land upon which we stand will respond to the Spirit of Christ that is inside us. A land that was... Look, listen. Hey, I don't have all the time. I don't want to do all the just teaching today. You will find that where there was desert. It's not as if we start irrigating. It never heard of climate change. Climate changes in any direction. It can change this year. Everywhere is hotter and warmer. The following year just turns and everywhere is cooler. Where it wasn't raining, if God just does like this, clouds will change and rain will start falling there. And that was what God used to do for Abraham and for Isaac. Anywhere they arrive, rain starts to fall. It was just a normal thing. When there was famine, Isaac wanted to move. God spoke to him simply, don't go anywhere. Stay there. Cultivate this land. Plant there. And then the waters began to flow. That's a matter of fact. And that's what Christianity is. It's not just, look, number one, we pray. Amen? But our very presence brings forth good things onto a land. That's a matter of fact. You think Enugu tropical rainforest? Me, all of us change religion first. You know what I'm saying? All the local trees are shortening. You won't know what's happening. They all have growth in Enugu now, only cactus and dongoyaro tree. It's because we are declaring somebody else is greatest. Are you following what I'm saying? Nigeria is already getting better. People just don't realize it. Believe me, when the Lord turned against the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. There are two sides to that. Normally, when spiritual things are going on, people don't notice it. Alright? Then they break forth suddenly. You think it started yesterday. That's why it was as if we were dreaming. But for a long time, the Daniels would have been praying. They would have been calling for things. God would have been telling them, be patient. I'm about to do something. I will do a new thing. Then the day starts. These people were not joining them. They say, when the Lord turned again, the casuals were like them that dream. Daniel cannot talk that kind of thing. Daniel said, like, who dream? Now you dream. When the Lord turned again, the casuals were like them that prayed. That's what. That... You follow my point? No, it's true. But what David was describing is that when the manifestation of God comes, it often comes suddenly. Something will just break forth suddenly. Oh, yeah. But actually, things were already going on. And sometimes, that's another thing, things are they are happening physically. But our blindness and our inabilities to recognize things going on makes us think, all right? They make us think as if things are not yet going on until finally the water finally springs in our faces. Meanwhile, we saw the wells being dug. We saw people fetching out of the wells. It's when they start carrying water and splashing all over. I say, ah, what happened? There's no water here. I said, but we're digging all the while.